Good morning. How's everybody doing? Why don't you guys stand up and worship with us?
You guys can have a seat for just a minute. It's good to have our college kids back leading worship this morning. They were able to lead us for our first Wednesday service this week. Did a great job. How about the Galax High School baseball team? And this has been a crazy, crazy year. Man, just like state championships and everything. Great job. Mark Robinson's one of the assistant coaches. I think he's downstairs helping kids now. I think we had a few. Justin, I hadn't seen him today, but he's on the team. So it's just great to see our young men doing so good this year, and women too. So exciting stuff. When you came in, you got a worship guide. Look on it. A few announcements. Youth tonight's different time, 7 to 8, kind of a little bit later, summertime. It's hard to get teenagers motivated. They'll be getting up from bed about that time. So 7 o'clock tonight, we got that. Then also next week is the week you're supposed to bring your baby bottles back full of change. We do that to raise money for the Pregnancy Resource Center. So please bring those back next week, and we'll get those to the Pregnancy Center. Great way to help them make a difference. And then finally, we've got a lot of different life groups. A bunch of them started this past week, but it's not too late to start up, to sign up and to start in with one of those groups. So look at the list. There's a list of groups there. You can be sure and find one that fits your schedule and that looks good. Sign up, join in. It's a great way to stay connected this summer. So that's what we got going on this morning. We're kind of thin in number this morning. It's summertime. The second service kind of dwindles a little bit during the summer. So we're talking about celebration this morning. This is a series on called I Love My Church. We're talking about different values that are important to us as a church. We're talking about celebration. So that means we need your help this morning. It's kind of weird to talk about celebration and everybody. And so you gotta be awake today. Can you help me? As we're singing, as I'm preaching this morning, I need some help a little bit. So you can we can make it old time this morning. You can talk back to me a little bit. So I just encourage you as we go into the service. We're going to celebrate what God is doing, and God has done a lot here in this church. God has done a lot in our lives, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful we can be here in this place this morning. We can lift up our voices. We can worship you. We can celebrate. We can sing. We can just honor you. And I pray that this morning you will help us as we look at your word. You will help us to reflect on the way we live our life. Are we really living in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we allowing the Spirit to lead our lives? Are we allowing our lives to be a reflection of what you have done, about how you have saved us, about how you've set us free, and how you have given us a new life in Christ? Lord, this morning, may you use this time to convict us, to encourage us, to challenge us, and to change us to be the people of God you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you guys stand with us?
Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. I'm alive because I'm alive in you, and it's all because of Jesus. I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises. It's all because of you.
this morning, we acknowledge that you are sovereign and that you are holy and you are righteous, Lord. And Father, I ask that you would give us a heart that would desire to be more like yours, and that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours, and that it would be evident to the people around us that it is you that we serve and it is you that we love. Lord, I just ask that you would give us that desire, Lord, for you to be exalted above all things in our lives. Lord, that you would be glorified in everything that we say and everything that we do. I thank you for the people that are in this room today, Lord. And I just ask that you would soften our hearts to hear what it is that you would have to say today, Lord, and that we would be responsive to that. Lord, we thank you so much for how you've worked in our hearts, and I ask that you would continue. So it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
The fullness of your grace is here with me. The richness of
prepare all of our hearts for Mike's message, God, of celebration. God, I pray that you help us to enjoy you, enjoy the relationship that we have with you that song was just talking about. And I pray that you be with Mike as he comes up to give the message. And we love you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, we're good. And I think as we've been going through this series called I Love My Church, it's been interesting for us, really more in preparation for this series, because this series is really probably a year, 2 years, even backing up big picture, 7 years in the making. And let me explain a little bit. What this series is kind of introducing our values as a church to you. And what this is not just something we pulled out of thin air, pulled out of, you know, some words that we wanted to talk about. It's not something we got out of a book. What we've been doing as the leadership of the church, as elders, is we kind of just started meeting and asking ourselves a lot of questions. Questions like, what are we doing as a church? I mean, that's a pretty important question, right? I mean, you need to know why you meet, what your purpose is and what our mission is. Why are we doing it? Well, you know, the questions, how are we doing church? What's our method? And how do we know we're successful? Where is God taking us on this journey? And as we sat down and discussed these things and started kind of filling in the blanks a little bit, so to speak, we came up with a list of values, things that describe not what we're called to do, but how we're called to do them. Things that hopefully when you look at a list of these words, you look at that and you say, you know what, that's really Cornerstone. That's accurate. That describes who Cornerstone is and a little bit about it. So you get a feel for what Cornerstone is just by looking at these words. First week we talked about truth, that we're going to use the Bible as our authority and guide. And that's the foundation for everything we do. It's based on the Bible, what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. Then we moved over to grace because those two things, truth and grace, are inextricably linked there. That we have to have a firm understanding of both truth, but also a firm understanding of grace. And now this morning, we've moved on to our third value we want to introduce to you, and it's celebration. We're going to celebrate what God is doing. This is a picture from one of our baptism services last year. It's Julia. She's actually been in South Africa working at an AIDS clinic the last probably 6 months or so, and she actually is traveling back. So it's been neat seeing the change in lives that we've seen take place here at Cornerstone, and we're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate what God is doing. And let me just, you know, when you think about Cornerstone, I said this series is really 7 years in the making. I mean, we're kind of a unique church. You got to admit, not every church can say, hey, we started meeting in a putt-putt. I mean, that's a little bit strange, you know, to be able to play laser tag and putt-putt after church, you know. It was kind of cool. My kids really liked it when we first started going. But it's unique. And then we moved from there when we outgrew there to we moved over to Oakland Elementary School. And, you know, then we had the whole thing of trying to set up all the chairs every week, setting up all the sound equipment, the video screens every week. And, man, I mean, you think about all the man hours that went into church every week, just setting up and tearing down and everything we had as a church had to fit in a trailer. You know, so we'd pull up with the trailer, drop the door down, load in, load out. We got pretty good where we could set up the entire church in about an hour's time. And it's pretty slick. I mean, if you kind of came in and watched from the outside, it was crazy watching that happen every week. And then we moved from there to Gladeville Elementary School, and then we moved from Gladeville to here. And we kind of took a deep breath because now we can actually meet every week, use the building throughout the week, and it's been a good thing. And what we've kind of learned in that process is we're still a young church, but I would say we're kind of an adolescent church. In your adolescent years, you kind of discover who you are. You kind of get a feel for who God created you to be, your purpose. And I feel like as a church, that's kind of where we are right now. We're in that stage of life, the stage of our church life, where God's saying, this is who you are. This is what I've created you to be. This is why I've placed this group of people here together in Galax, at this location, in this time, for this reason. And that's really what this series is. It's coming together and saying, this is kind of who we are, what we're doing, and hopefully, when we get done with this, you're going to look at these words and you're going to say, that's a picture of Cornerstone. And you can say, man, and I love my church. And we've been talking, we've got to get shirts that say that, right? I mean, it'd be a great conversation starter just to have shirts that say, I love my church. So this is really kind of who we are, where we're going, why we're doing stuff. And this morning we're going to talk about celebration. Now, how many people in here are parents? We've got quite a few parents in the room. Let me give you an example of something that you celebrate. When your kids are little, and especially during the diaper years, you get kind of tired of changing diapers. You can change diapers for a number of years. How many years did y'all change diapers, Diana? I mean, y'all were like in diapers for years. I mean, for us, we had two in diapers at the same time. We were very glad, when we got through that stage. And when you're trying to do the whole potty training things, parents act really weird. I'm just going to tell you. Parents do some crazy things. And finally, when you have success, it's nuts. Because, it's crazy, and you go, oh, my goodness, look what you did. And you're, like, calling your friends and saying, guess what little Johnny did? He used a potty. And you're, like, taking pictures of it and putting it on Facebook and Twitter and say, see, wow, he did that, yeah. And you celebrate, and you act like a complete idiot sometimes. And why do we do that as parents? Why do we celebrate some things? Because we know if we make a big deal about it, if we celebrate it, they're going to keep doing it, right? They understand this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what's really important. This is in what we do. We see a change in behavior based on those things that we place value on. And as a church, I bet you wondered where I was going with this. As a church, when we celebrate those things that are important to God, what we learn together is these are the things that are most valuable to us. This is what's really important. And here's the lesson that what's celebrated is repeated. Parents, I mean, when you celebrate something, it's repeated. And as a church, we want to be sure we celebrate the right things. We could celebrate a whole lot of things. I mean, we can celebrate different styles and different things, but when we get right down to it, what's really important for us as a church? And hopefully today, I'll be able to kind of help you understand a little bit what's really important. What are we here to celebrate? So I think the best place to go is Acts chapter 2, description of the early church. Let's go there, look at it, and let's see a little bit, just a glimpse of what church should be about. And this is a passage you may be familiar with, but this is the early years of the church. Christ had died on the cross, was resurrected from the dead, ascended back to heaven, left the church, and here's where we are. And it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and a prayer. A deep sense of awe, I love that, a deep sense of awe came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. And then they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And what we see here is a picture of how the church should function. A church that's more than just an hour a week on Sunday morning. A church where they were meeting in the temples. They were learning from the scripture. They were listening to the apostles teach. They were praying together. They were eating together. They gathered together in the temple to worship together. And then they met in homes throughout the week. Every night of the week, just having meals together. I like this picture of a church because it centers a lot around food. Okay? I mean, food and fellowship. I mean, this is kind of good here. I mean, they're getting together. They're eating a lot together. They're spending time with each other. They're doing life together. And it says here they had joy and generosity. I mean, they were providing for each other's needs. And not only that, all the while they praised God while they were doing it. They weren't afraid to praise God about what was happening in their life. And here's the thing. When people saw that, when people saw what was happening, they were drawn to it. And the Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved. So we saw people just attracted to this new way of life. And I don't know about you, but I've had the opportunity, the chance to visit a lot of different churches and different cities and different styles of churches, different denominations. And I've visited these churches. And there's something about when you walk in a new church, and maybe you're here for the first time this morning, and research shows that most people within 5 minutes of walking in the door have formed an opinion about the church. Before the pastor gets up to speak, really even before they hear the music, they formed an opinion on whether or not they're going to come back based on the first 5 minutes inside the door. And I can attest to that because I've been in churches before, and as soon as you walk in the door, you just get this feeling, man, something is different here. There's life here. You know, people are smiling. People are excited. People are joyful. And as soon as you walk in the door, you realize, man, there's some type of anticipation that's going on here. And it's not based on the style, because I've sensed that in traditional churches. I've sensed it in contemporary churches. It's just there's something different about churches when you walk in and the people are excited about being there. They're excited about what's beginning to take place. And then I've been in churches that are a little bit different. You walk into some churches, and I said it's like going to a funeral home would be a step up in excitement. You kind of know what I'm talking about. You walk in, and it's just like, I mean, everybody is like mad. They're not happy about being there. They got their arms crossed. They got that look on their face. And the best way I can describe that look, and y'all have seen it before, you know what the look is like. You see their face, and it's like, they smell something like somebody ate Mexican in front of them. It's like, you know, I mean, it's that look on their face like something just, maybe you've experienced that where you've been somewhere and it's just the feeling is very cold, very detached. Instead of joy and excitement, you sense conflict. You sense that there's something that's just not right in that place. And here's what I want you to know is that Cornerstone, we have been a church that's not afraid to celebrate. We've been a church that maybe doesn't take ourselves too seriously. I've had people kind of complain sometimes that, you know, I don't like it when the pastor tells jokes. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell jokes from time to time. They may not be funny, but at least I'm going to make an attempt. Why? Because we're joyful. We've got something to celebrate. I'm not coming here to be upset and angry and mad and a lot of times I think people call that reverence, and that's not reverence, because throughout the Bible we see that it is full of stories about joy, about rejoicing, about happiness, about excitement, about celebration. And that's really the type of church we are here at Cornerstone. What is joy? Isn't that important to understand what's joy? And because it's not based on circumstances in life. I saw one definition that said it's the happy state that results from knowing and serving God. It's beyond happiness because it comes from our relationship with Christ. It comes from our service to Christ. And when we think about, and we can look throughout the New Testament and there's words like joyful and joyous and rejoice. And it's like over 250 times in the New Testament when we see that, that whole idea of rejoicing. Let me just read you a few verses, because this is a picture of what church should be like, okay? And maybe compare your experience here, your experience with other churches, and I would hope you would say that this is a joyful place. James 1:2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." So right off the bat, you can see it's not based on having no problems in life. Instead, it's based on having joy through your problems. Philippians 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. 1 Peter 1, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory. Galatians 5 says that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. John 16 says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. 2 Corinthians 7 says, I'm acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with comfort in all of our affliction. I'm overflowing with joy. Romans 15 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Romans 14 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 10 says, the hope of the righteous brings joy. Psalm 16 says, therefore my heart is glad. My heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. And 2 Corinthians 8 says, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in the wealth of generosity on their part. I mean, there's two words that we don't think go together, poverty and joy. But yet we see, I mean, and it compelled them towards generosity. Romans 5, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have received reconciliation. John 16, your hearts will rejoice and no one can take your joy from you. 1 Peter 4, but rejoice in Christ's sufferings. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always. And man, I could just keep going on and on and on. 1 John 1, so that our joy may be complete. I mean, we can go throughout Scripture, and I can tell you over and over again, what we see is not, church is not a place of people sitting around angry to be there, unhappy, discouraged, defeated, frustrated. Church is a place of joy. It's a place of celebration where we come to talk about what God is doing in our life and what God is doing in our church and about what God is doing in our community. And when you add all those things together, we get a picture here of how much God loves us and how much we have to be thankful for and how much we have to live for God. So that's really kind of what we want to do this morning. I want to talk about those three things that we want to celebrate here at Cornerstone. These three things that are important, these three things that are a source of joy, these three things that help us as we move forward. The first thing is simply this. We want to celebrate what God is doing in our life. And when it comes right down to it, we need to be able to, each one of us, look at our own lives and celebrate what God is doing in our life. And if I ask you that question right now, what's God doing in your life? Do you have a, could you answer that? That's an easy question to ask, maybe a little bit harder to answer. But what's God doing in your life? That's a great conversation starter. If you're having lunch or coffee with somebody, just pop out that question. So tell me, what's going on? What's God doing in your life? And here's the thing. The answer to that question shows what we value. The answer to that question shows what's important to us. The answer to that question reveals a little bit about our walk with Christ. And most of the time, we think about those things. You think, go through your mind, think about what you spend time on, think about what you spend energy on, what you spend your passion on. And that's the things that kind of consume our mind for the most part. And here's the problem is, most of the time, we're celebrating things other than what God is doing in our life. It really comes back to our celebration is really a reflection of our worship. And let me just talk about worship for a minute, because celebration, worship is celebration. Those two things go hand in hand. Worship is simply about value. The simplest definition I could find of worship was by Louis Giglio, and this is what he said. Worship is our response to what we value most. Worship is our response to what we value most. Worship is not just something we do. Worship is something we are. Worship is every part of our life. Everything we do every day of the week is worship. And what we do, we have to, looking at our lives, we have to look and see what are we truly worshiping. What is of importance in our life? What are those things we place priority on? Is it relationships? Is it a dream? Is it friends? Is it status? Is it money? Is it possessions? Is it your work? A lot of things kind of take the rightful place of God in our life, and we let them become idols in our life. And our worship tells us what we value most. So what do you worship? If I asked you, what are you celebrating in your life? Are you celebrating what God is doing? are you celebrating the fact that you just got a new car, a new house, a new promotion? What are those things that you celebrate and you allow to kind of dictate your mood, your joy in life? We have something we need to be joyful about. When you really think about what God's done in your life, we need to be thankful. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you got your Bibles, flip over there. There's just a couple of passages I'm going to take you to. 1 Peter towards the end of the Bible. Chapter 1 here is one of the passages I'd like to share this morning, verses 3 through 9. And this passage tells us a little bit about why we should be thankful, about what God has done in our life and how that should be a reflection of joy coming out of our life. Let's read it. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by His great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So, and listen to this, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls." A great passage here. And it shows us why we have so much to be thankful for. I don't know about you, if I asked you that question, what are you thankful for? A lot of you would say family, friends, you know, my health, different things. But when we see here, we see one reason we should be thankful is by His great mercy, we have been born again. We've been born again. That's a church term, I know, but it's straight out of John 3. What does it mean? It means we have been given a new life, a new birth, a new heart. God has taken our old life, it's put away, it's put to death, it's gone, and we have been given a new life. And because of that, we should be thankful. We can have joy. When was the last time you just told somebody, "Man, I've got so much joy"? You know why? Because God has given me a new lease on life. In fact, He's given me a new life. God has changed me. God has done something incredible in my life. And not only that, God is protecting me. God is holding me. I'm in God's hand, and He is using me. I mean, when we look at this passage, you see there's wonderful joy ahead, so be truly glad. It's not based on our health. It's not based on not going through any problems. We're going to go through trials. Life is tough. There's going to be things we don't understand, problems we can't solve without God's help. There's going to be things we go through in life that just don't make sense from an earthly perspective. But we can go through that with joy. Why? Because joy is not based on our circumstances. It's based on knowing God, and it's based on serving God, and it's based on what God has already done in our life and He wants to do through our life. And because of that, we can have this inexpressible joy. And when we think about that, I mean, that really changes a little bit our perspective on problems. So I ask you again, what do you worship in life? What's most important to you? If I kind of follow the trail of your life through your finances, through your time, through your passion, through your energy, what you think about when you're daydreaming, all those things, I'm really afraid to know what I would find. I'm really scared to see what I would see in each of our lives. Because I have to admit, I think for most of us, we're consumed with things that don't really matter much in the scope of eternity. And if we want to be a church that celebrates what God is doing, we need to focus back on what God has done, what He's done in our life and what He wants to do through our life. And then that means it's a sense of gratitude. It means that we have a sense of thankfulness. It means we take time to reflect. God, thank you for doing this. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for pulling me through this problem. You think back to your life before Christ. For many people in this church, man, they have a story to tell. The old saying, they were going to hell in a handbasket, rings true for a lot of people. They have a past. They were really right in the middle of a sinful lifestyle, and God plucked them from that. He pulled them through that, saved them from that, and really set them on a new path in life. And I've heard so many testimonies here in this church, and I mean, some of the stories I've heard will just, you go, really? That was you? You know, it was like, I mean, stuff, you know, stuff, just sin. I mean, just the ugliness of sin that happens. But for some of you, maybe you were saved at a young age, or you never were really that evil. But what you got to think about is that, one, you still had sin in your life. And secondly, what happened is that God saved you not out of maybe a bad circumstance, but He saved you from it. Because I look back at my life, and man, I was right on the edge of making a ton of bad choices. I mean, I was right there. And I had the chance, and I had the wrong friends, and it wouldn't have taken much, just a little nudge, to fall off the ledge and make a lot of the wrong choices. But yet God in His mercy kind of got the right people in my life at the right time, and I responded, and he and I look back at my life and I think, man, I was so lucky because I was so close to messing up the rest of my life. And He saved me from that. He kept me from doing things that I knew I shouldn't do. And for many of you, when we think about what we're thankful for, that's a lot. When I think back what God's done in my life, I thank God sometimes for some of those choices that I didn't make. Those choices that I was so close to making, and yet God kind of pulled me from it. And you think about that, I mean, we've got so much to be thankful for. And so I want to challenge you, what's important in your life? What's God doing in your life? What are you spending your time worshiping? Where does your joy come from? Where does it emanate from? Those are all questions that help us realize what God's doing in our life. The second thing we've got to think about is what is God doing in our church? And this is when it's really neat. We see how God's brought us together. You know, it's kind of neat to stand back and watch what God does in other people's lives. It's kind of like being an armchair quarterback, sometimes being a pastor, because you see this happening and this happening, and you kind of get the sky view picture sometimes of what's happening, and it's really neat. And so many times I can't share stories of individual what's happened because they're too personal or they're too, I get frustrated sometimes because I want to come out and say, you won't believe what happened. This marriage, man, this happened, and they had moved out and separated. Now they're back together, and it's awesome. But, you know, you really can't do that. That would be a little strange sometimes, because there's personal issues. But I see that on a week-to-week basis, lives that have been changed here. And it's exciting. One of the ways we celebrate that is through baptism. And that's why we chose a picture kind of symbolizing this whole idea of celebration of baptism. And let's talk about baptism for a little bit, because what does baptism symbolize? It symbolizes an old way of life that is now gone. When we go under the water, it's symbolizing Jesus going into the tomb. It symbolizes death. But when we come out of the water, it symbolizes new life. It symbolizes Jesus being raised from the dead. It symbolizes our sins being washed away, and that we're set on a new path now. And that's what's so exciting about baptism, is it's a reflection, it's a statement of who we are in Christ. Baptism was a way in the culture of the early church to show that you belonged to this group of people. It's a way of attaching yourself. It's a way to saying, I'm with them. And as Christians, when we're baptized, we're saying, I'm with Christ. You know, I'm following Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. And when we're baptized, it's that symbolic act of saying, I am going to follow Christ because I'm no longer stuck in that old way of life. And so when we baptize people, it's a celebration. I love it. I counted up last night. We've baptized 77 people here at Cornerstone. 25 of those were last year. That's awesome. That's awesome to see lives that have been changed. And I want to see even more. I've said before, I would love to see where we had to have like baptisms like every week. Wouldn't that be awesome? You just had so many people coming. I mean, that would be like, that would be incredible to see just baptism after baptism after baptism, celebration after celebration of new life. And what excites me about baptism is because it's not just a ritual. It's a life that has been changed. And when we do baptisms at Cornerstone, we've done them everywhere from the swimming pool to the river to our church land. You know we're a redneck church if you have a baptism in the middle of a hayfield and a swimming pool. Let me just say, I love it. But it's a celebration. And after we finish the baptism, you look over and the swimming pool's out there, and the next thing I know, Jimmy's like doing a cannonball in it. You know, I mean, that's the type of church we are. I mean, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Why? Because we're celebrating what God is doing in our church. And it's exciting to see. We're celebrating the fact that God is using people from this church to make a difference all around the world. And we need a map somewhere in this church just to show all the countries that have been touched by mission work and by students and by trips. I mean, it's incredible. You know, we've got all our students traveling, and you've got Emily Hicks right now who's in the middle of an 11-month mission trip to 11 countries. I mentioned that Julia, who's in this picture, is just coming back from serving in South Africa. We've got people that have been people have been all over the world from this little church in Galax, Virginia. How many people around the world know where Galax is? If they don't know bluegrass, probably very little, like nobody. But yet, we've been able to go and make a difference. And we can celebrate that because God is using this little church to touch lives. And you know, baptism is a way of us celebrating that fact. And that's so important. As I look in the book of Acts and look at this early church, there's a few verses I see what happens. You see this correlation between joy and people coming to Christ. And again, that's what excites me about baptism. Acts 8:8 says, Philip preached in Samaria and the people believed, and there was great joy in that city. Why? Because lives were being changed. And Acts 13, it says, after the work of Paul and Barnabas in Antioch, the disciples were filled with joy and of the Holy Spirit. Acts 15:3 says, Paul and Barnabas reported the conversions to other believers, and it caused great joy. Acts 16, it says, after the conversion of the Philippian jailer, he rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. And what we see, we just keep seeing this, when people come to Christ, when lives are changed, there is reason to celebrate. We see that in Luke 15, the three parables, the parable of the lost sheep and of the lost coin and of the lost son. Those three parables, they all end in celebration. They all end in rejoicing. They all end in what was once lost is now found, and because of that, we can celebrate. And that means that as a church, when we come together and worship, we're celebrating changed lives. That means there's energy. That means there's passion. That means that sometimes there's volume, right? Because what? We've got something to celebrate. And it's amazing. We can go to a football game and yell at the top of our voice. We can go and we can celebrate at a concert. We can go, we can do all sorts of things. And yet, we feel like church should be a place where you do the polite little golf clap. I went to two concerts, but this is before BC, in the BC period of my life, which is before children. Jennifer and I went to two concerts in one year. We went to a James Taylor concert. How many, you got anybody that likes James Taylor? You know, smooth, silky. He had a little finger-picking guitar, you know. And what was amazing about it, we were sitting down, and you know, like I was wanting to stand up and go, Freebird, you know. And I mean, and he was playing, and nobody stood up during the whole concert. And everybody just did that little, ooh, it's like exquisite, marvelous, you know. and I just, it's awesome. You know, and that's kind of how. And then it's like 2 months later, we went to a Jimmy Buffett concert. Yeah, y'all are like, it was a little different. It was the night and day difference. And instead of the, I mean, it was bad. So, probably shouldn't have been there. Don't know where that story came from, but here's the point. As a church, when we celebrate, we're probably going to be a little more like the Jimmy Buffett. Is that a good analogy? No, probably not. But we're not going to be afraid to celebrate. We're going to have joy. We're going to have excitement. We're going to have passion because God has changed lives here and we can celebrate that. And that's part of our DNA. That's who we are. And I hope you understand that is we have something incredible that's taking place here. And what's happening here is abnormal. It's supernatural. And that's what's exciting to see. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is simply we want to celebrate what God is doing in our community as well. And this is part of our DNA too. And I've said before, Cornerstone is not trying, we're not out here trying to be like this incredible church and we want everybody in the whole town to come here. We just want to do what God's called us to do. And that means we're going to celebrate with other churches when God moves at other churches. When we see revival take place, I don't care at what church, at what denomination, if God is moving, I'm going to celebrate with him. And the fact is, if you look at this community, and I've seen different statistics, but my best guess would be less than 30%, probably less than 25%, maybe even lower than that, of people on a Sunday morning are in church. And the fact of the matter is, I know this is a town where there's a church on every corner, but every church could be filled to capacity, and there's still half the people in this town that would not be in church. There's room for every church in town, and it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. And our job is to do what God has called us to do, to be faithful to the mission he has given us, and to celebrate when God saves lost people, when lives are changed, when people grow in the relationship with Christ, and they fulfill the Great Commission. I don't care, you know, and we work with other churches. We've done activities with other churches. We celebrate with them. I talk to other pastors. I try to be encouraging to them because this is the fact is that God is moving not just here. He's moving in other places. And we can celebrate that fact. And our worship is a celebration of that. And, you know, when I was down in Nicaragua, it goes beyond just our community. It goes beyond the churches in our region and our other cities and even around the world. When I was down in Nicaragua, I was able to spend some time with the pastor we helped support in Tonawa. And Gary's met him a number of times. And you know, it was really neat to see the growth that has taken place in his life over the last 4 or 5 years. And to see Mama Maria say, the last time I heard him preach, I did not recognize him because he had the power of God. And she was talking about how like 9 people had accepted Christ at a service he preached at. And that, you know, this church here at Cornerstone, we helped build his church. We helped sponsor him. And just to see, I mean, we can celebrate that, guys. That's something to be excited about, how you're making a difference around the world. That's amazing to see things like that happen. One of the verses that helps me celebrate and helps me understand our role and this whole idea of celebration. We're going to celebrate what God is doing, not what Cornerstone is doing. And that's that we phrase that just for that very reason, because we want to celebrate what God is doing. Acts 4:13, one of my favorite verses, and you'll see why here in a minute. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And the reason I love this verse so much, and I preached on it a couple years ago, is this the word ordinary. And most translations, what they do, they try to be nice sometimes. They don't really put the word there that maybe the literal word because they don't want to like offend people or hurt people's feelings. The Greek word for ordinary is idiotes. You can see why I like that verse. They could see that they were a bunch of idiots, but who had been with Jesus. And at Cornerstone, guess what we are? Yeah. That's us. We're ordinary people from all walks of life. but yet who God has chose to place his hand upon. And hopefully when people look at us and they see the passion we have, they see the excitement we have, they see how we have joy in our life, hopefully what they recognize is they recognize people who have been with Jesus. People whose lives have been changed by the gospel. People who are celebrating the fact that God is alive, that God still works, that God is still involved in our life today, and that God is changing us to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. And I just want to, as we close today, I want to, if you got your Bible, flip over to Psalm 115. And that's where we're going to end up this morning. And I just want to ask you, what are you worshiping life? What are you celebrating? What's that place of highest importance in your life? Because what you worship, really, it determines who we are. We turn into what we worship. I mean, that's the type of person we become. And if we worship money, then at the core of your being, you're going to become greedy. If you worship a sinful habit, then that sin is going to grip you and hold on to you, and you're not going to be able to break free from it. If you worship stuff, you're going to become materialistic, and that's going to become the focus of your life. How can I get more? Whatever it is, what I want to do is kind of close out this morning with Psalm 115 because it addresses this. And this is I love this passage here. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Why let the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens." I like that. I mean, he's saying our God is in the heavens and he does as he wishes. Our God's in control. Their idols, the things that they worship, are merely things of silver and gold shaped by human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. And feet, and cannot walk. And throats, but cannot make a sound. He's saying all these things that people are worshiping, they're not real. They're not alive. In fact, they're dead. And those who make idols are just like them. You become what you worship. As all those who trust in them. Oh, Israel, trust the Lord. He is your helper. He's your shield. Oh, priests, descendants of Aaron, trust the Lord. He's your helper. He is your shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the people of Israel and bless the priests, the descendants of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and lowly. May the Lord richly bless both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens belong to the Lord, but he has given the earth to all humanity. And I love how this ends. The dead cannot sing praises to the Lord, for they have gone into the silence of the grave. But we can praise the Lord both now and forever. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them you're not dead. At least I hope they're not dead. If they are, we have a problem. If you're alive and you're here in this place this morning, God is not done with you, and you have a reason to praise God. You have a reason that you can praise who he is and what he has done and what he is going to do in your life. And for us, we have to slow down sometimes in life. We have to reorient our life. We have to change directions, and we have to understand God has called us to be a people of God who stand up for truth, who extend grace, and who can celebrate when God is victorious and when lives are changed. And we have so much to be thankful for. So when I come in, I don't want to see people with you know, sad faces and frustrated and discouraged and defeated and beat up. We can come in and we can celebrate. We shouldn't be afraid to lift our hands in worship. We shouldn't be afraid to sing out. We shouldn't be afraid to tell other people, guess what God did this week? You won't believe. Guess what? Let me show you this verse. Yeah, people are going to think you're a freak, but they do anyway. I'll just be honest with you. Let's be excited about something that really matters in life. Let's celebrate what's really important. The fact that God loves you. The fact that God has a plan for your life. The fact that God can save you when we put our faith and trust in him, and that he can give you a new life. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we have joined together, as we've looked at your word, help us be people who are not afraid to celebrate. Help us be a people, who, Lord, who are focused on what has eternal significance. Lord, help us be a people who are bold and courageous in sharing our faith. And help us celebrate when lives are changed, when people come to know you as their Lord and Savior. In this room, Lord, I know there are many people who have been saved out of some pretty bad situations. And I'm thankful for what you've done in their life this morning. And I'm also thankful, Lord, that for many of us, you have protected us. You have held us. You have kept us from making some pretty bad mistakes. And for that, we can praise you. For that, we can thank you. And finally, Lord, I know there are people here in this room who may be holding out, who may be a little bit hardened, who may be a little bit bitter, who may be frustrated and tired and defeated because they've been trying to do life on their own and they've been trying to find joy from their own strength. And they need to just trust in you this morning. They need to lay everything down at the foot of the cross and let you take control. If they have never trusted you as the Lord and Savior, I pray that right now would be that time, that point of surrender in their life, where they could look back and say, on June 10th, 2012, my life was forever changed because I gave my life to Christ. And if that's you this morning, would you just pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that right now you come into my life. Lord, I acknowledge my need for you, my own sinfulness, my need for a Savior. Lord, I'm so thankful that Jesus came and He paid my debt. He canceled all the charges against me. He took the punishment that I deserved. And through His death on the cross, I can be forgiven. Thank you for that. And through His resurrection, I can have new life. That I'm no longer who I once was, but now I'm a new creation in Christ with a new purpose. Lord, come into my life and give me the strength to follow you. Help me to follow after you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, let me praise you. Let me celebrate the fact that you have changed me and that you are still changing me today. If that's your prayer this morning, I want you to know that Jesus does still care. He does still save people. He's still involved in our lives today. You just prayed that prayer, then you've been given a new life in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing here in our lives and in the life of this church. May we not lose focus of what's truly important. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd ask that you take out a response card and the seat backs in front of you. Look at those. There's several different things on them. Maybe God's calling you to get more in His Word. If you're really struggling with joy, then one of the best ways you can do, best things you do, is get in His Word and read. Read the book of Philippians. You want to read a book about joy? Paul wrote it from the middle of a prison, and yet he's saying, I am joyful. No matter what happens, in all situations, I am content. That's a book about joy. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe you've not been baptized, and God's put on your heart this morning, saying, I need to take a stand. I want to be baptized. I don't care what anybody else thinks. But I want to be baptized and show the world that I'm not ashamed of Jesus and what He's done in my life. And if that's you this morning, would you mark that on your card? We're going to be having a baptism service in about a month. We'll be planning that, and we'll get you information on that. Maybe it's this morning you made a commitment and you just want to let us know so we can celebrate with you, so we can get you some material, so we can pray with you, so we can help you. Just let us know. And if you fill out those cards, you can drop them in one of the boxes. We get them. We pray over them. And let us know what God's doing in your life. And we can celebrate. We can rejoice in that. Would you stand? We're going to sing. And we're going to thank God for what He's done in our life.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. my own. My sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. My sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. My sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. The one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. My sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. You washed it white as snow.
Father God, thank you for your son and what he did, God, and that he has washed us white as snow. And Father, I thank you for that truth. And I thank you that because of that, we can celebrate as Mike talked about today, God. And Father, I pray that you help us all to implement that into our lives, that everything we do is worship God. So help us to direct our worship to you and not to the things of the world, God. I just pray that you'd be with all of us as we go about this week, and I pray that you just help us to worship you in our lives, and pray that everyone has a good week, and God, we worship you, and we love you, and I thank you for this church, and this morning, God, help us to go out and enjoy you today, and it's in your name I pray, amen. You guys have a good week. Thank you.